And you'll hear more in Brother Daniel's introduction, and you will my whole service. I heard Brother Tim Ramsey say one time that what they got when Brother Daniel preached was a 5-course meal. And he said, all you get tonight was a happy meal. Amen? But I love the opportunity, and I sure appreciate y'all. It's good to have a laugh in your heart, isn't it? I mean, sometimes when everything's just, I mean, we get burdened down, gentlemen. If you'll turn to Luke chapter number 6 just for a minute tonight, I won't be long. But I thank God that it's not a dread for me to come to the house of God. It's an enjoyment to me. And I don't come into the house of God to be somebody else. I can come in here and be exactly who I am. A lot of places out there, I can't be who I am, and that's the honest truth. You face just so much, and I mean, you just get wore down. I'm just talking to you, church, from my heart tonight. And a lot of times, it's just really hard sometimes, amen. Just to, the Bible says, and having done all, just to stand, amen. Yeah, I mean, you can have on your whole armor, and sometimes you're just going to have to stand. And a lot of times, it's even hard to do that. And God knew it would be. He knew it would be. I like what the brother said. I tell my church all the time, it's something that I used to try to exhort them with. God could have chose any point in history for us to be. But he chose this time. And that means he's got confidence in us. And that means he's put us here to do a work that the Apostle Paul and Peter and all those great men of the past that you read about in your Bible, they had their time and they achieved that God had them to do. And now we've got our time. And we need to shine, brothers. We need to shine. And I'm gonna read you a little bit out of this, but you pray for me tonight. And in the sixth chapter of the book of Luke, if y'all would, you don't mind standing, we'll read this word of God together. And like I said, you pray for me tonight. I'm just thankful to be here. I'm thankful for the opportunity, and I thank God for people that will pray. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 6, verse number 6, and it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. And then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And Brother Jesse Stafford, good glory to God, I'm glad you're here tonight, son. Will you pray for us and ask the Lord to help me? I sure do need him tonight, Father. You help me tonight, God. And y'all can be seated. This story here, it's pretty simple. And I started looking at this evening, and I really didn't know where to go. And the brother said this morning, this evening back there, I was talking when I came in. He said that about 5 o'clock this morning, he got up and he was praying for me. Well, I'm still in the bed, amen. So I guessed that and went through in the scope of things, and I know God heard that. But I got up and I began to try to study and try to read, and I had a thought on my mind. But brother, my thought ain't always God's thought. I don't know if y'all ever have that problem or not. And but I thank God. I know when I'm butting heads with the Holy Ghost, amen. I thank God for that feeling. I don't always like it, but I thank God I know when it's happening, amen. And he said, well, about 12 o'clock again, he began to pray again. And I thought, well, that nerd, I got the whole grunt of that one, because God finally burdened my heart on where to go in this scripture. And this is what we got tonight. The Bible says, and it came to pass on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. withered. And what Jesus has done, he's come in and he's already had to run in with them when they were eating the corn in the field. And they wanted God's men starved to death, amen. They didn't want to have no corn. They didn't want to give them nothing, amen. And everything they did was scrutinized. I mean, they were watched and they were taunted. And everything they did was under the gun of that religious crowd. And he goes in now and he goes into the synagogue. And he goes in and he walks in and here's a man with a withered hand. And the Bible says in verse number 7, the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. And now they're already trying to accuse these boys of being blasphemous and breaking the law. And ain't you glad God will stand up for his men? Amen. Glory to God. When this world is on your back, I've got one over there in glory that's standing up for me. Amen. And I thank God for that. And now he's in the synagogue and he goes in and I don't know. I've heard a lot of people say this boy was planted there by the Pharisees to try to entrap Jesus. And I don't necessarily know all that, but I know one thing. They knew where he was. And they knew if Jesus was going to do anything, it would be to him. Now, they had a concept of the compassion that Christ had, but they didn't have a realization that it could be extended to them. Amen. Because why? Because they wasn't withered. Amen. They didn't feel withered. Amen. They could see the outward witheredness of this other man, and they knew that if Christ was going to do anything, it would be to him. And so they began to watch him, and they began to talk among themselves, and they began to say, when this Jesus comes in here, you watch him, he'll go right to that one. Ain't you glad, glory to God, that when you've got a problem and you get to the house of God, he knows who to come to. Amen. Glory to God. Mind you, he did not go to the Pharisees. He did not go to the scribes because they who are not sick have no need of a physician. That little old withered boy, though, he needed something. Jesus wasn't going to leave him out. Jesus wasn't going to leave him out. So he goes over there and he walks up to him and he's looking over there at them guys. And see, what they don't know is that he was the Word of God. And that he was sharp. And that he was a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts of men. And what he did was he ran over there. And before he ever touched them boys, listen to me. He cut them down, amen. He discerned their heart. And he cut them the soul and the marrow and the joints and the body. And he discerned them. And he said, I know what y'all's thinking. And he said, I'm going to do it anyway. Hey, let me tell you something, church. This religious crowd will not stop God from his purpose. Honey, let me tell you one thing right now. The Holy Ghost of God will not be barred. It will not be hampered. It will not be closed in. Hallelujah to God. When God says it's time to let it go, it's a coming out. Amen. The Bible says the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell from whence it come or whether it go. I'm glad you can't stop the wind. Amen. That religious crowd thought that's going to stop Jesus from helping this old boy. He was fixing to unleash something. He was fixing to give them boys something that their heart needed to see. But it never got past their eyes, church. All the things that God does in the walls and the confines of this church, if they never get past your eyes, honey, if you could just let some of that get in your heart. I come to the tent meeting down here Friday night, and boy, Seth preached, glory to God, and man, it was glorious. It was just glorious. And I heard, glory to God, the services all week was good. And I mean, boy, God touched them men and let them preach. But I heard them boys back there behind the pulpit back there and laying around wailing and weeping and crying for souls. If you could just see what was put in, all you see was just the manifestation when God comes by. If you could see what was put into that over the years, if you could see what had been laid down, if you could see the tears and the blood and the sweat and the times that God's men have lived under the scrutiny of the socialites and the Pharisees and the scholars, if you could see that, church, rather than just seeing it with your eyes and see it with your heart and know a great price was paid for that to happen. Glory to God, he'd get somewhere then. But you go down and you see Jesus, he knows their thoughts, and he goes up out of that boy and he just says, get up and come here. Now that little boy with a withered hand, you ever seen anybody with a withered hand? You ever know anybody with it's polio, or I've got a cousin. I think he had polio or something. One, he's a big old boy. He's like me. I mean, man, he's a big old boy. And he's got one arm, you know, regular full size, and the other arm just, I mean, man, he's just little. and then she's right on them. And Duck, when he goes somewhere, well, what's the first thing happens when you come in a church door? And Richie, he don't like to put that thing out because it's withered. And it don't look like the other one. And if there's any way he could, he wouldn't pull that thing out. But he'll get that thing out of his pocket, and then he has to pull it up and get it out to you like that. And you'll shake his hand. But he puts that thing back in his pocket. Now, why he puts it back in his pocket, because he knows everybody in the building's going to shake his hand. But yet, when he gets an opportunity to hide that infirmity that he has, even if it's just for a second, he wants to get it out of the sight of everybody because nobody wants anybody to see their infirmities. And so here's this young man, and his right hand is withered, and he's been around this religious crowd. He's been around these people that could do him no good. They had no doubt made fun of him. He wasn't worth anything because he couldn't go out and provide a living, and he couldn't bring his offerings in, and he couldn't fatten the purse of the Pharisees and the scribes. So really, he was of no use to them. But God walked in, and he said, "Honey, with just one touch, he's better than you are. You just can't see that." And God walks in, looks at him, cuts them boys up over there. And he said, "I've already discerned their hearts and their thoughts. They are not here for help. Do you not think it'd be fair, church, to go ahead and for me to put a little something right in here and give you some Clayton theology?" Without a doubt, God had already discerned the heart of this man and knew he did want help. Amen. Yes, sir. But what he had to do before he could get the help, Brother Max, was he had to stand up. Now here's this withered man in amongst a bunch of people that really don't care for him, really don't like him. With all intents and purposes, he was probably planted there by the scribes and Pharisees to trap Jesus. But it didn't matter why he was there. If God discerns your heart and your heart was right, honey, he can help you. That's one thing. You talk about dragging your youngins to church on Sunday. Hey, sometimes they, "Hey, I pastor a church and I've got two lovely daughters. One of them's 17 and one of them's 13. And sometimes, brother, it's all I can do to get them up and get the shoes on and get them church on Sunday morning. But they're not sitting at the house, glory to God, until they get somewhere on their own. If they're in my house under my roof, they getting up, getting in the car and going to the house of God. Because it don't matter how they got there. They might get their heart right and the Son of God might see it and it might fix them one day. Hallelujah. That's what that's all about. This boy here, why all he knew was that there was something about that man. Oh, when he walked in, he was different than the rest of them. Yes, sirree, buddy. He come in there and he goes and he tells that little old boy to stand up. When he stands up, Jesus looks back at this crowd over here. And he said, "I'm going to ask you one thing." He said, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it?" And notice there ain't no answer there. You know what I find as I travel around and I go to different places and preach, and I see God move on people, and they have no answer for that. They absolutely have no answer for what God has given, but yet they refuse to try to get any more information. If you don't know something, hey, it's all right to ask, amen. Them boys, they should ask him, say, "Well, God, what are you trying to say here? We don't understand this." They didn't say nothing. Why? Because they already knew it all. He had discerned our hearts. He knew they weren't going to answer to start with. And if you go on over there, you'll find that in the... one of the scriptures over here, I got it wrote down somewhere, but I done got all off my track. You know, you just looked at notes. But he asked him, he said, "What man of you having one sheep, if it fell in the pit on the Sabbath, wouldn't you go get it?" And he's saying, y'all have got more compassion for an animal than you do a human being. You can look at an animal and say the poor animal didn't know what it was doing to get in that shape. But you look at a human being and you say, well, it's something in his past and he deserves to be where he is. Honey, all of us deserve to be in hell today. All of us deserve to be somewhere. They didn't, none of us choose to be sinners. We just are, amen. Only thing that boy was missing was a touch from God. He said, y'all got more compassion for animals. This boy right here has got a withered hand. And you brought him in here to make a mockery out of him. But I'm going to make a mockery out of you through him.
Ain't you glad God can slap the devil right in the mouth anytime he so... I get so sick and tired of hearing these people talk about Satan and this mess, and you hear it and see it all the time. They're going to gather an army. They're going to... Honey, he's done being kicked out one time. He can't go home because my Savior's got the keys to his house. And hallelujah, God, according to what I know about this Bible, he's going to chain him up and pitch him back in there. Honey, whenever God wants to thump him in the head, what he does is stop, amen. And he can't do nothing about it. Satan, my eye. Hey, buddy, hey, let me tell you this. Satan can take you as far as you'll let him take you. Yes, sir, buddy. But, buddy, when you own him off, Brother Birch Handy said the reason he rides is because we give him such a good saddle. These boys here are trying to make a mockery out of my Savior. My Savior knew before there was a before, he knew this day would be there. And it had already all played out. Can't you see God the Son and God the Father? Back before you go back as far as you could go and stick up a stake and then go on back 20 million years past that, and they was there. Honey, this ain't nothing new to them. Honey, they knew it before it ever was, amen. And after it's ever been, they'll still know it, amen. They talked about this, honey. They talked about that boy. He said, son, you're going to go down there and you're going to have to give your life. And I'm let me tell you something. He said, I'm going to set up a form of this in the Old Testament. And he said, I'm going to let them shed blood. And he said, I'm going to let them work in the tabernacle. And he said, I'm going to make that thing in the shape of a cross. And he said, I'm going to work that through the blood. He said, but it ain't going to be for forgiveness. It's just going to be, I owe you, amen. And then glory to God, when you come, you're going to be mocked. And you're going to be talked about. And you're going to be scrutinized. And you're going to have to shed your precious blood on Calvary. But I want you to know that on your way to Calvary, you're going to meet a little boy with a withered hand. And you're going to take him. And you're going to make a fool out of the devil. And it glorified God the Father when God the Son I made a mockery out of the devil that day. I know a little boy said at Cane Creek Baptist Church, withered and wrought up. Let me give you some of these definitions. Sister Rhoda, I didn't waste all my day. I studied this stuff out, but I ain't got one of my notes. Hey, that word withered, that word's in your Strong's Concordance, it carries a number of 3584. It's zeros. It has the idea of scorching ground. It has the idea of ground or some kind of ground that didn't have any water, and the ground began to scorch. And what happened, I believe that boy was dying. He was beginning to wither. And the sweet Holy Ghost of God come by with a water pot. And the devil had all the cards stacked against him that day, church. The devil had the religious crowd over here. Let me tell you something. It don't even mention anybody else being there, but I know they was. Hey, man, I know there was more in the temple that day than just this boy and them scribes and Pharisees. But it didn't matter who all else was there. It didn't matter why that boy got there that day. It didn't matter what he had said the day before. It didn't matter how many lies he had told or how many things he had done in the past. What mattered was that he was withered and he knew it. He knew it. And he was ashamed of it. You say, how do I know that? Because Jesus had to tell him, stretch your hand out. He wasn't just in there holding that thing out for everybody to see it. Do you remember when God told you to stretch forth that witheredness? Do you remember when you sat in a church and a preacher got up? And honey, I ain't got no idea what the preacher said that day. I was eating manna from another country. Honey, I was getting bread, and I was getting water, and I was getting honey, and I was getting milk. And all of a sudden, it got so good, and I began to realize how unworthy I was to sit in that place. And I began to realize how withered I was. And I began to realize that this God that this man's talking about, he's not a God that's dealing with me in wrath. He's not a God that's dealing with me in some kind of anguish. He was a God dealing with me in love. Amen. And in my withered state, amen, God loved me, amen. Before I ever preached a message, God said, I'll save you, boy. Before I ever done anything for the cause of Christ, he saved me. The Bible says, no greater love hath any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How many of y'all was a friend of God before you got saved? Not a one. Hey, God's love's greater than grave. Amen. Hallelujah, church. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Yes, sir. Glory. It's greater than grave. It's good and good. Amen. A good drink of that sweet nectar from over there in glory. I've got a God I don't mind showing him my witheredness. He said, little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do, you've got an advocate with the Father. Honey, I've got somebody over there, and he still tells me, Duck. He still tells me when I get up sometimes in the morning, honey, it ain't nothing unusual for me to wake up in the morning, and sometime while I've been asleep, the Holy Ghost of God come by, and I'll wake up with a Song of Zion on my heart, and I won't even know why. Amen. And glory to God, I'll sing, and I'll pray, and I'll worship him. And other mornings I wake up, and he showed me I've got a little bit of witheredness in there. And if I ever want that song back, I'm going to have to expose it to him. I enjoy the song so much, I don't mind exposing that witheredness. Yes, church. Yes. I enjoy the song. Keep the world don't ever hear that. I wouldn't trade it for nothing, church. If all I got was just God in the secretness of my heart, if all I ever had was just him, oh, when I was low and when I was weary, oh, glory to God, if all I ever got was just him and the world never saw, I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. But ain't it good when God comes out and blesses you and the whole world sees it? He's good, church. He's real too, in case y'all don't know. I feel his breath on my neck. He said, and looking round about them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so, and was restored whole as the other. And his hand was restored whole as the other. That's power, church. He didn't go over and put the Benny Hinn on him. Hey, he didn't run over there and get on him and pray. He didn't even touch him. Glory to God, that boy's faith made him whole. How did you know that Jesus knew he had faith? Because he told him to stretch forth his hand, amen. Every time God gives you an invitation, he's recognized faith in your heart and he's wanting you to do something. Honey, glory to God, that's why it's important for it to come when God reveals your witheredness to you, because you won't always have that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you'll study the Bible, you'll know you don't have faith or grace or mercy or no goodness whatsoever in you. God will call you. He'll expose that witheredness. And when he does, church, he's did that for a reason. I got to get on down through here. This hardness that he's talking about, if you would go back with me and look, he's got a place here in Matthew where it says, they ask him, they being the scribes and Pharisees. You go on down Mark 3 and 4, and it says, and he said unto them, and that's Christ talking back, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill it? In other words, they asked him a question, and he asked it right back to them. Yeah. He was saying, do you see how stupid that sounds when you say it? Now, y'all might not think that's proper English, but I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes when a child asks you a question, you stop and you say, you what? You want to take this and go over here and try to put it into that. And you say that question to have them stop and think about what they said. And he repeated their question. Matthew 12:11-12, what man shall be among you that shall have one sheep and it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on, lift it out? How much then is this man better than all the sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? You come down here and he says there was something wrong with him. He said there's something there. There's a word,
hardness, it's porosis. It's used in three places in your Bible. It's used in Romans. It's used in Ephesians. And what that means is it's actually just what I said. It's got the meaning of stupidity. It's got the meaning of a callousness or blindness or a hardness. It wasn't that they had this and they were already there. But it was their heart was becoming hard and it was becoming something. I believe it's in the book of Mark where he said it was their hardness of their heart. If you go by and you look at that word, you'll find that it's used in Romans as blindness. It's used in Ephesians as blindness. If you'd go back and look, I believe it was in Mark also that he said, yes, I got it wrote down right here. He said, Mark 3 and 5 said, and when he had looked around about them with anger. So what happened this day was you had this religious crowd, these Pharisees, every time Christ is in the synagogue, they're there. I don't want to bust nobody's bubble tonight, but if Christ come by, I'll guarantee you there's one here that's his opponent. You say, preacher, you can't say that. Oh, yes, I can. I just did. And God said I could. Amen. Yeah. That's authority. That's what God can give you. So what he did was he went in there and he told them. He said, I know what you're thinking. And I can't help you because your thoughts and your hearts ain't where they ought to be. So I ain't going to mess with you today. Anybody else that was in that tabernacle that day, in that synagogue that day, he didn't even mention nothing. Hey, it was like that boy was the only one in there. He was the only child that day. And he goes over there and he says, I know you withered some, but that's all right. If you'll stretch forth your hand, I'll fix it. And that boy stretched forth his hand. And can you imagine that old boy with that old dried up hand that wasn't any good for anything? He had one good one over here. And probably his whole life he's thinking, you know how we're never thankful for what we've got? Instead of that boy thanking God for having one good hand, he was always probably, boy, I wish my other hand was right. Yeah, I wish this other hand was right. He'd probably spent his whole life with one good hand not wanting to use it and trying to hide the other one, and he was pretty much useless. But that day, Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. Now, he has already stood up at a point of attention, and there's already everybody looking at him. And he went, and as he stuck that thing out right before their eyes, without a touch, without a move, without anything other than the spoken word of God, he stretched forth his hand in faith and it was made whole like unto the other. You see what I'm telling you about letting the things of God get past your eyes and into your heart? There's no way they ought to have left that place with madness in their heart and trying to scrutinize the things that God did. God just showed them the power through His Son. I mean, before their very eyes. It wasn't done in secret. It was done for them boys. Do you know why sometimes God performs things in the church service and He manifests Himself and He lets some of y'all testify like your head's on fire and He lets some of y'all let out a war whoop and He lets some of y'all get in an altar and weep and cry? God manifests Himself in that manner. Sometimes not for you, but for some of them sitting back over there that their heart wasn't right and He's wanting to see, I've got the goodness, I've got the mercy, I've got the glory. Don't you want some of this? But they left that day same way they went in. Angry. Mad. Boy, when God's on your trail and your heart's hard against Him, it'll drive you crazy. You'll absolutely think you're going insane. I've got people right now, I believe with all my heart, in my family that God is dealing with them so mightily. Hey, they're on all kinds of nerve pills. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you the honest truth, church. I'm not exaggerating this thing. That ain't a pill Prozac can fix, son. I mean, that ain't a problem Prozac can fix. No. Hey, there is a pill. It's the gospel. Amen. Yeah. Dr. Jesus can give you a pill, amen, and take all that away. But if you don't ever never want it. You can try what man's got, and you'll keep putting it in your body, and you'll keep trying to fill a void. But that Bible says that there is some dynamite in the Word of God. That dunamis, amen, and it'll blow a hole that nothing else will fill but the Spirit of God. Nothing. I'm going to be done with this right here. You know, I went back, and it's funny we was talking about this. That's the reason I believe. When you do something and God's in it, He'll validate it. I believe that. He'll give you something to let you know, not as that it's anything great, but that He's great. Not that you're great, but that He's great. Amen. Not that you've done anything special. If you followed the will of God, well, you're just doing what you're supposed to do. We get so boastful sometimes because we've gotten the will of God. My soul, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to. Is it not, Brother Richie? Is it not? But how boastful do we get sometimes when we've done, hey, honey, let me tell you something. I didn't have a bucket of water to bring down here today, but God has showed up, and I don't know if anybody else been blessed or not, but honey, He's blessed by a blesser, amen. It's Him, church. It's Him. Hallelujah to God. It's Him. It was Him in the garden. It was Him on the cross. It was Him in the tomb. It's Him that's ascended. It's all Him. We ain't got a dog in the fight, but I sure am glad He lets me bark every now and then. Glory! Glory! I went back and I looked. Do you know that? Hey, man, He's good, ain't He, brother? Ain't He good to bark? Woo! Glory! Yes, sir, church, God gives you that. Hey, man, He'll manifest Himself in you. There may be some old hypocrite sitting in here that says, glory to God, I wish I could shout, amen. God said, if you'll just reach out to wickedness, I'll make you shout. Glory! Glory! 250 times plus in the Old Testament. I'll tell you why you got to shout tonight, church. I got to go. I'm about to run out of air and my voice is leaving. And if my hour goes first, somebody please call 911. 250 times in the Old Testament, God dealt with them in anger, or He was angry. That word anger and the word angry came up in the Old Testament more than 250 times. You know how many times it came up in the New Testament? It came up 5 times, the word anger. This is one of those times right here. The word angry came up 7 times. Can I let you know something tonight, church, before I go to the house? Do you know nowhere else in the Bible? Romans, I can put my glasses on to read what I wrote. Romans 10 and 19 was dealing with the nation of Israel being angry. Ephesians 4 and 31 says anger is to be put away. Colossians 3 and 8 says to put the anger out of your mouth. Colossians 3 and 21 says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Nowhere else in the Bible does the word anger appear as Jesus looking upon people outside of that religious crowd that stood in that synagogue that day. You let me get that sunk in before I go to the house, because glory to God, I'm telling you one thing right now. If you do not want the anger of God kindled against you, don't you hide your witherness from Him. Hallelujah to God. He come in and He cut them boys up. He knew their thoughts. And glory to God, they knew that He knew. And they stood there and did nothing with the love and the mercy that God was trying to extend to them that day. And because of their action to the light they was giving them, Jesus Christ looked on them with anger. And nowhere else in the Bible does He do that. That's pretty doggone deep for old crazy redheaded boy, ain't it? Hey, that's it, man. That religious crowd drawed the anger from Christ. The withered man drawed the mercy. The rest of the crowd didn't even matter that day. Now that's the story of this withered man in this Bible. He loves you, church. You know why I think anger's not too much dealt with in the New Testament? I'll tell you just a few verses right here. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? Honey, they ain't no anger on me, because my wrath and my anger was taken by a man named Jesus as he hung on the cross of Calvary, honey. And God the Father poured out every bit of anger for every sin that had ever been committed by this wicked world. And he poured that out on my Jesus. And my Jesus saved me. And when God deals with me, honey, I'm glad he sees the blood. And when he sees the blood, he's going to pass over, amen. I'm glad the anger and the wrath and the malice and all that indignation that God felt to sin. The Bible, I heard somebody say one time that God became a sinner when he hung on the cross. Honey, he never sinned. He didn't become a sinner. He became sin, amen. Sin itself, amen. And God poured out all the wrath, and he took my place. He took my place in wrath. He took my place in judgment. He took my place in hell. He was my substitute in all ways, shape, forms, and fashion. God don't deal with me in anger anymore. I've got a fountain of grace. Hey, I've still got witheredness, mind you. Hey, but glory to God. Ain't you glad that the grace of God is greater than the witheredness you have tonight? Church, I sure do love you. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. It was an all point. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know what that means? That means if you sit in this service tonight, there ought to be something inside you that's tingling, saying, Jesus ain't worried about my witheredness. He ain't worried about what I can or can't do. He's already done it all. He's already done it all. What does a beggar bring to a king? What have you got today that you think Christ needs? How do we get in the point where we think we're doing God a favor? Honey, he's going to take your sin. He's going to cast it as far as the east is from the west. And he's not going to forget it, church. Because God can't forget. He's holy and he's perfect in all ways. But what makes it even so sweet, Keith, it's not that he's going to forget. He's going to choose not to remember. Stand to your feet. God can choose not to remember your sin tonight, your witheredness, whatever it is that you've carried in here with you. It don't make no difference to him. Grace sufficient. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. They ain't nothing that God can't fix tonight. Honey, you listen to me. If your family's falling apart, you better get up here. That's a withered part of your body. Hey, the Bible says that a man shall leave a woman and the twain shall become one flesh. If your marriage is splitting up, you're withered. Amen. Boy, you can get up here and God can fix that. Honey, you got financial woes and financial burdens, and it's hindering you from doing the things, honey, that you need to do for God. Honey, you get up here and ask God. I'm telling you right now, we had something coming up. Let me just give you one more bark before I go. We went down to the insurance place, and my daughter's insurance was coming up. And honey, I'd already been down there, and I'd ask them how much it was going to be, and they said it was going to be almost $700. And honey, I didn't have $700. I didn't even have $300. And glory to God, when I went down there, Brother Max, and I got down there and I asked that woman how much that was, she said it was $328. Hallelujah. When there ain't no way, when the world says it won't work, honey, whatever your burden is, I'm telling you, God cared about that insurance payment because he knew it was making me withered. He knew I couldn't perform with that burden on me. And he lifted that. Father God, that you would help us tonight. Oh God, our witheredness, Father, it's before you whether we'll ever recognize it is or not. And God, we've all got something in our pocket. We've all got something, Father God, that we need help with. God, if it's our soul, Father God, if there's people in this building, Father, that their soul is in peril and they need the gift of salvation, Father, I pray you give it freely.
Father, I pray, God, you extend them the grace and just give them that just because you can. It's going to make the devil mad, Father. I pray you do it, God, just to thump him in the head. God, if there's a man in this altar, God, Lord, that's been a doubt in your power and a doubt in your presence, Father, I pray you show up and, God, Lord, manifest yourself so that, by glory to God, they may not get what they want, but they won't be able to leave and say you wasn't here. Hallelujah to God. They won't be able to leave and say you wasn't there and you wasn't presenting yourself and you wasn't there, God, dear Lord, loving on them and being good to them. And God, the sweet savor of the Son of God, Father's been in the house tonight. Glory to God. Boy, I praise your holy name. Unworthy, Father, as I am, and I mean that from my heart. And you know, God, dear Lord, I hear some people say that. And I believe it's more of a boastful thing than it is a humbling thing. And Father, you know where I was at. And God, more than that, I know you know where I was at. And even in that sin, you extended the arm to me. Father, my witheredness was taken away and I was made whole that day. God, make us whole tonight. In your precious, holy name we ask and pray. Amen.